Welcome, everybody. Another episode of Ears Up In Depth, where Jeremy and I dig through the news and bring to you only the finest, most pure reporting. This is the stories you won't hear about anywhere else, other than where we got them from in the first place. But the commentary is what you live for, and this is what you join us here for each and every other week. Well, most each and every other week. Jeremy, how you doing, man?
I'm great. It's great to be back. I feel like I've seen you so much lately between the last in-depth we did and the last show we did.
Yep.
And then the secret show you made me do.
Oh, yeah.
But I got me out of my bed in my pajamas.
I reached through the phone and pulled you out of bed.
I was like, I'm going to bed. It's over. It's done. And then I get in bed and I'm all comfy and I'm like, ah. And then my phone rings and I was like, I knew that guy. I knew it.
You know, I left that in the secret show.
What do you mean you left it in the secret show?
The phone call.
Wait, you recorded the phone call to me?
Yeah, I did.
Oh my God, I gotta go on.
I didn't
know you were recording that.
Yeah, I had pushed record and then I'm like, you know, I'm gonna, because I'll forget sometimes if I don't do it. And
you know, that's technically illegal.
You know what? Sue me. I need you to sue. I need you to sue me. I don't know. I'm calling Jeremy. There we go.
Who is it?
Jeremy, look, you know what? We're about to start the show and you're not in here yet. I need you to come on the show.
I'm in bed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't care.
All right, let me get out of my pajamas.
And then it goes there like that. I edited it down a little bit because, like, some of it was kind of boring, but.
Sorry, I wasn't as exciting in my bed.
No,
you're not very good. But I love how the banjo or whatever that ukulele just starts right in.
Yeah,
okay, let me get out of my pajamas.
I thought it was pretty good.
That's good stuff. You should prank me more.
don't even threaten me with a good time. Speaking of a good time. What's going on in spectralradio.us? I hear you have a new show.
It's a brand new show. It's called The Ears Up Disneyland Takeover.
Wow, I love it.
So it's every, you know about this, it's every Thursday and Sunday morning at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Disneyland time. I guess noon Disney World time.
Yeah.
And Ears Up takes over the airwaves with a nice assortment of Disneyland-only music. So
that's right.
Taking a break from the never-ending, relentless
audio. Hammering.
Spectro Magic and Illuminations just battling back and forth all day. We could give you some Disneyland West Coast audio.
Yeah, well, I'm glad we could do this for you, Jeremy, because I do really feel like you are East Coast-centric, you know, just by nature, I imagine. And not a thought given to our own little island of Anaheim out here. So I appreciate the opportunity to introduce your listeners to Disneyland for the first time.
Yeah, some of them most of them probably have never heard of Disneyland. So this is probably all new to them.
That's right. Well, especially some of the music.
I don't know why it's not been on the station. Must be from when I switched back over to Live 365 a few years ago. I found audio that I don't have up from like really, really deep cuts. And it's like old 1950s Disneyland radio commercials. And not the ones that are for the Haunted Mansion. These are just like Disneyland commercials. And I saw them today.
It's cool.
And I was like, why don't I have these on the station? And I thought, I'm going to put them on only for the Ears Up Disneyland Hour to make it special. So
okay.
If you want to hear that stuff, you've got to tune in only during the Ears Up show. But you can stay for other things, but that's the only time you'll hear this stuff.
I love it. I love it, man. Well, look, Jeremy, I have a handful of stories to go through. So why don't I just start off talking some brief downtown Disney talk?
Ooh, that's exciting.
That?
You have the only downtown Disney left.
That's true. It's absolutely true. Disneyland Resort President Ken Potrock posted some images to his Instagram account about the ongoing construction in downtown Disney, specifically the new Disney Vacation Club Tower at the Disneyland Hotel. Seems like all this company wants to do is expand the DVC.
That's their only game plan right now.
It's the only thing that they could think about in their minds is expanding that nonsense. But vertical construction has begun on the new Disney Vacation Club Tower coming to the Disneyland Hotel. And like I said, Ken Potrock has displayed a few images, which is, I mean, it's like some steel girders and some insulation, and then him staring up at some guys like 10 feet off the ground. That's really, there's no, it's really boring. But he says,
I saw that picture now that you bring that up. The way you describe it well, that's what it is.
Yeah, it's really weird. And he's like looking like slightly at a 45 degree angle with his hands in his slacks going, yeah, I'm here. The message that he displayed on Instagram says, quote, vertical construction has begun on the proposed new tower coming to the Disneyland Hotel. I had the chance to stop by for the special moment with colleagues from Walt Disney Imagineering. It's exciting to see this future addition to Disneyland begin to take shape. More ways for our guests to make memories with loved ones. First of all, it's not proposed. It is. It's a new tower.
I noticed that too.
It's very weird phrasing. It's like it leaves room to just change it into something else. This is going to be a dark ride instead. I don't know. It's going to be a 12-story swimming pool. Anyway, it is a 12-story tower. Wow, I had made that up, but apparently I was right. It's a 12-story tower being built on approximately 2 acres in a corner of the Disneyland Hotel, once the site of the Fantasy Waters Fountain Show. It also plans to include a little over 300 on-site parking spaces. The DVC Tower will add 350 Vacation Club rooms to the existing 71 rooms at the Grand Californian.
Wow, that's a huge increase of DVC.
Massive, right? It's an increase of nearly 600%. The new tower has been designed to complement the existing Disneyland Hotel's Frontier, Adventure, and Fantasy Towers, though no specific theme has been announced for the new tower. So it's sort of going to look like every other tower, unlike what's the monstrosity that's going on over at the Poly.
Oh, don't even get me back on that. Get me on that. I think at least, and like exactly to your point, at least it's sort of architecturally congruent with what's already there.
Right.
Which what's already there is pretty basic and boring. So
true.
Good job recreating basic and boring. Could you just not keep doing it in other places where we don't want basic and boring? Because that is taking away. It's funny. I was watching. I've brought this particular YouTube account up on here before because he does a really good job. It's called Mickey Views. Mm-hmm. And I was watching him last night and he was covering the news about the Polynesian. And he was saying that a lot of the Imagineers that used to build these hotels have left. They've gone to Universal, or they were just let go. And now where they've been hiring these new hotel designers is from the Vegas Strip or just Marriott or Hilton. And they've been bringing in all these people apparently who are designing them, but they're doing what they did in these other companies. And that's why we're getting this.
I mean, I wonder how he knows that. First of all, I guess you just look him up on LinkedIn maybe. And
right.
I don't know.
He does more than just wonder about it, which is all we do. So
I wonder what that would be like. I mean, it does make a lot of sense, but also, I don't know. I mean, I know that Imagineering, they pay okay, but you can make more money doing the same stuff at other places. Like Disney doesn't really pay all that good for what you're getting.
Well, for what we're getting, they shouldn't be getting paid much. How about that?
How about that? All right, Jer, what do you got?
Oh, I thought you were going for a break.
No.
I saw you gesture. So here I am. I would like to start my first story by saying number one.
I hear a polka and my troubles are through. Hoop-dee-doo, hoop-dee-dee. This kind of music is like heaven to me. Hoop-dee-doo, hoop-dee-doo. It's got me higher than a kite. Hand me down my soup and fish. I am gonna get my wish. Hoop-dee-doo in it tonight.
Jason, that is the original theme song to the Hoop-Dee-Doo review sung there by Perry Como, because that's the original version. And if you are wondering, I don't know if that's the true original version, but it's one of the first versions well before Hoop-Dee-Doo review. And if you're wondering why I played that, well, it's because at long last, the fan favorite, I don't even think I should call it a fan favorite. I think I should call it the fan obsessed Hoop-Dee-Doo review dinner show is finally reopening and returning to the Pioneer Hall at Disney's Fort Wilderness Resort. I mean,
it's been a while.
This is the one we've been waiting for.
Is it? Okay. Everything else could sort of go away.
Everything else can go away. Many things have indeed gone away, but this one we wanted back. The beloved dinner show was, of course, paused at the beginning of the pandemic, and fans on social media have been clamoring for its return. Some have even speculated that it was never returning, given that it's taken Disney so long to make this announcement. By the way, this announcement was made this afternoon. So this is hot news off the presses. If you're listening to In Depth, you are getting the latest, okay? This isn't old. Okay. Rumors of both its demise and return have been swirling for months. I had heard that the actors had been called back last fall, only to be thrown back into hiatus once the rise of the Omicron variant started up again.
Ah.
But today, via TikTok and Twitter, the Disney Parks blog announced that our friends Jim Handy, Flora Long, Claire DeLune, Johnny Ringo, Dolly Drew, and the inimitable 6-Bit Slocum will once again be delighting audiences with their music as guests dine on unlimited servings of fried chicken, ribs, mashed potato salad, and of course, strawberry shortcake. The show has a long history. It originally opened on June 14th, 1974. It was created in part due to the success of the Polynesian Review over at the Polynesian Village, which I just can't seem to stop talking about on the show for the last three episodes.
Oh, God, here we go again.
He won't stop. So that's where it owes its beginnings to. It tells the story of a group of traveling vaudeville-esque performers whose stagecoach has broken down near the Pioneer Hall, and they come inside to entertain while their coach is being prepared. The show was meant to be a temporary summer engagement, but following its first summers, it was such an unqualified success, Disney replaced its original student performers, who at the time had to return to school because summer was over, and they installed a full-time regular cast, and the show has continued ever since. Hoop-Dee-Doo Review will officially return with performances beginning June 23rd, and you will be able to make reservations starting May 26th, so get ready. It's back.
Sounds delicious. How many times have you been?
Probably 10 or 15.
Wow.
The last time I went, it might not be the last time, but one of the last times I went with friend of the show, Miles. And his family.
Nice. Oh, that's cool.
Family. Yeah, we had a great evening. And that was the night he had a couple drinks, and then he went and bought DVC.
Sucker.
I sort of feel responsible for that.
You should. I think legally you're now 20% in with his ownership. Like you bought in, you owe him, and you get to use 20% of his DVC. That's what I think how that works.
Good. Well, that's not the contract I gave him, but he doesn't know. He signed that, and I will be staying at that ugly new Polynesian now thanks to him. So, no, but I'm very excited. I feel as though I haven't had a lot of positive things to say about Disney lately, or a lot of things to be excited about, and that I just sort of rag on them constantly because it has been, you know, with a pretty steady tempo of bad news every day. And don't worry, we're getting into some later tonight. But I was very pleased that there was something that I could come on here and celebrate that is a fan favorite. So it's back.
Very good. Very good.
21st Amendment Brewery's latest beer release, Tropical Brew Free or Die IPA, puts an island vacation in their whimsically designed cans. That's right, cans. This refreshing year-round release, Tropical IPA, is brewed with pale and Munich malts, brimming with Azaka, Citra Cryo, and Mosaic hops, and topped with a splash of pineapple flavor. The result is a clean, refreshing beer featuring a mix of sweet malt, balanced bitterness, fruit-forward hops, and a nice tropical vacation at the finish. Tropical Brew Free or Die IPA is available at your local good beer shop, neighborhood taproom, and anywhere else people come together to find great craft beer.
Well, Jeremy, you know, I like to beat the drum a little bit about how much Star Wars has taken over the Disney sphere of things. If you thought Marvel was bad, Star Wars is worse. You got the Star Wars lands involved both coasts. You got that massive hotel, that windowless bunker of cosplayers. Well, originally what sort of started this whole thing about like, hey, I think there's too much Star Wars in Disneyland is the addition of Hyperspace Mountain to Space Mountain.
Right.
It's like that really cheap overlay that they throw on there. It's like you already have Star Tours. Now we have to turn over Space Mountain to Hyperspace Mountain. I sort of feel like Now I kind of understand how people feel about the Nightmare Before Christmas overlay on the Haunted Mansion. It's like, I came here for the original Haunted Mansion. But at least that is done well.
Well, yes. Can I ask a question?
Of course. Yes, you can.
As a non-Star Wars fan, but I'm asking this to you as a Star Wars fan.
Yeah.
Does that appease you? Does that satisfy you? Do you think, oh, look, I'm happy now because there's Star Wars overlaid? Like, does that?
It annoys me. It frustrates me.
Okay. Because presumably they're doing it to entertain the Star Wars fans. But I don't think the Star Wars fans give a crap.
I think that if Star Wars fans really thought about it, they would be annoyed like me. Everyone should be like me on this scenario. Because we already have Star Tours. Everything can't be Star Wars. You can't have Star Wars everything. So why are we going to take a classic ride and throw something, another classic thing on it and make it, I don't know, better? I guess what I didn't understand about Hyperspace Mountain is, what was the point? Is Star Wars underrepresented in the parks? Well, okay, now we have a whole 14 acres of it you can go explore. Do we need to do this again? Well, apparently we do, because starting on April 29th, following a one-day refurbishment to make the switch, Hyperspace Mountain will return to Tomorrowland's Space Mountain Indoor Roller Coaster. It debuted at Disneyland back in 2015, appearing occasionally since then. It's one of the few themed overlays that Disneyland has used on Space Mountain since its 2003 rebuild. The Hyperspace Mountain overlay will return a week before Disneyland hosts the first of three hard-ticket Disneyland After Dark Star Wars Night events on May 3rd, 4th, and 27th, for some reason. The final night for that after-hours event comes during the Star Wars Celebration Fan Convention at the nearby Anaheim Convention Center on May 26th through 29th. Disneyland has not yet announced an end date for Hyperspace Mountain. So we have no idea how long this thing will last. I don't see the point of it anymore. I don't think it's particularly very good. I've ridden it a couple times, and it just sort of seems blah. I mean, it's one day flip over. It's a one day refurb to change out the projections and the music, and then that's it. I don't know. It doesn't seem very well thought out. It always seemed very haphazard.
Well, if it's only taking one day, it can't be that elaborate, right?
Right.
Like, it's like, I could barely clean my apartment in one day, let alone couldn't do a Star Wars overlay in my apartment in one day. You know, no, think about it. It takes longer to decorate for Christmas.
It's odd because it's just, I mean, if you think about all the things you can really do with that ride, there's not that many, right? With the ride itself, you can't do much. You change the music out and then you add a couple of projections to it and maybe time some sound effects. That's really it. It's not like a big elaborate overlay with like working animatronics like Haunted Mansion and Nightmare Before Christmas. You have maybe that big sort of like spaceship cruiser that's hanging out in the middle as you walk into the loading area and you go around that, but you can't remove that or overlay it or whatever. So you can't really do anything with like the launching booth, you know, the control center at the top. Can't really do anything with that. So what are you going to do? So I sort of get it, but also if it doesn't look cool, then why are we doing it still? And then still, why are we doing it? Now we have Star Tours, Hyperspace Mountain, in Star Wars Land. Good gravy.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense to me. Sometimes, do you ever feel like you're doing something for someone's review? Like at work, it'll be like, oh, we need you to go to this meeting about this. And I'm like, there's no meeting. That meeting is not necessary. But someone's going to put on their review that they coordinated that meeting. I have to take time out of my day so that you can tick off something that was on your review.
Mm.
And I think that's what the Imagineers are doing. They're like, oh, I executed the Space Mountain overlay. You know, we conceptualized that again. We brought that back to high guest satisfaction. And it's like, you did, Jennifer. Good job.
And people do
that's
like
what,
it.
We have to go on that ride for some Imagineers review. That's what it is.
That's a good analogy. Or a good explanation, at least.
It's an explanation. I think that's what's happening.
I mean, people do like the ride. I mean, people in the chat are like, oh, yeah, but it's sort of nostalgia at this point because it is just, it's a projection of a TIE fighter. There's no story to it. There's no nothing. It's just weird. I don't like it.
The chat doesn't know anything. They'd still go on it. If it wasn't Hyperspace Mountain, RGH would still be queuing up to go on Space Mountain. Don't let him fool you.
That's true. Right? That's true. You want to do another Disneyland-centric one? We'll take a little breaky.
Yeah.
All right, let's do that. Apparently, Disneyland is now adding a single rider line on the Spider-Man ride. And you don't have to buy a Lightning Lane pass to do it.
Oh, okay. That's a good thing.
It is a good thing. I think. I don't really know. But it's also sort of confusing. It just adds to the confusion of how you, the fast pass single rider, what's going on here. Because they've taken away some single riders because you want to use the Lightning. But now there's a single rider. It's just, what are we doing? I don't understand. But anyway. Disney California Adventure will offer a single rider queue starting March 24th on Web Slingers, a Spider-Man adventure, for the first time. So now if you're looking to save some time and money, apparently, before slinging webs with Spider-Man, you can now cut to the front of the line if you're willing to be separated from your party or visiting on your own. Yeah, blah, blah, blah. You all know how single rider line works. I do think it's cool. And that's great. I think more rides should have a single rider line.
Well, a lot of them, I don't know what happened out there, but a lot of them went away here because of the pandemic. They wanted to take advantage of, you know, having an extra spot. It was easy for them to call that decreased capacity. You didn't want to have, you know, you're there, you're like party of three, and then who's going to sit with the stranger? Who's going to sit with the creep? And the creep was always me.
Yeah. You're always so like, hi. I'm Jeremy. Have you heard of my radio show? What's your favorite part of Illumination? You're like the kid in line on A Christmas Story.
Yeah, I like The Wizard of Oz.
2 points for getting the reference. I was worried that you weren't going to understand my cool joke.
Oh, I got your cool joke.
Thanks, man.
Does the fact that I got it make it not cool?
No.
I wonder about that. Well, you have a lot of confidence. I like that.
Thanks, man. All right, let's take a quick break. We'll come right back. Okay. We'll cover some more news here on Ears Up In Depth.
And now, back to the show that's more fun than waiting in line for Peter Pan on a hot August Anaheim day, Ears Up.
All right, Jared, what do you got for us?
Well, Jace, it's for the bling that they go sprinting, but the supply chain has the metals missing. Run Disney.
That's a good one. I will give you that.
Okay, thanks. Run Disney enthusiasts were shocked and dismayed today. Just another hot off the presses. You know, this is the hottest news. In case I haven't reminded you enough, Run Disney enthusiasts were shocked and dismayed today as an email communication from Run Disney came out to runners informing them of the possibility that this coming weekend's Run Disney races might not have medals available for the participants.
That would infuriate me.
It would?
Yeah, for sure. Because you want the thing.
Right. Like, I'll give you my opinions later.
Okay.
The brand new springtime surprise race event at Walt Disney World kicks off this Thursday evening with the Expedition Everest 5K. Saturday, runners will participate in a 10K race leading up to Sunday's Tower of Terror 10-miler. Disney blamed the potential absence of medals at this weekend's race on ongoing supply chain issues that the entire country has been facing. Those medals are probably on a container ship off the coast of Long Beach right now, just bobbing in the waves. The email stated, quote, in advance of the weekend events, we wanted to share with you the unfortunate possibility that our event medals may not arrive from our supplier in time for the event. Although we have been working to resolve this matter, we cannot guarantee at this time the medals will be available at the finish line. We understand that receiving a race medal is a special moment that epitomizes the hard work and dedication you've shown while training for the event. Please know that if the medals do not arrive by race time, we will get the well-deserved medals. I mean, they are buttering us up.
Oh, like, yeah,
epitomizes
for sure.
The hard work. It's like, right. Look, we're jocks. We know it, okay? We will get the well-deserved medals to those who participated in the event in the most timely fashion possible. Well, not enough for me to prance around World Showcase with it on, having everyone congratulate me and being in awe of what a tremendous athlete I am.
That's right. Of making way for your calves and quads. You know?
Get out, everybody. Jock's coming through. So that is sort of my point. Now, I have to say, I went on Twitter. I was like, because the Run Disney, no one takes them. My friend said this to me once. No one takes themselves more seriously than the amateur runner.
Oh, for sure.
And they are usually fired up about things like this. But they seem to be taking it all in stride. Everyone's just kind of, all right, hey, look at, you know, just a heads up, everybody. Looks like we might not get medals, blah, blah, blah.
I don't like that. I want people to be mad.
Yeah, it's very confounding because then things do happen and that you wouldn't think are a big deal and they burn their houses down. But this one, it's kind of like everyone's sort of pulling together and, you know, they're saying, you know, if you're only in it for the medals, you know, you're not in it for the right reason.
Oh, my God. They do take me. So there's in video games, we call that being sweaty. But it doesn't really translate over to runners because you're sweaty. But like you're try hard, like you're sweating at a video game, right? Where like you're trying so hard to beat the other person to be good at the thing. It's like you're actually like sweating where most people are just having fun. It sounds like that.
I thought it was like if you like somebody, you're like sweating them.
No.
You know, like, oh, don't sweat me.
Well, that's hip-hop culture. That's not video
See,
game
I'm more in tune with that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I guess being on the East Coast, I bet that's probably more accurate than not.
Yeah, that's one of our sayings over here.
That's right.
The Springtime Surprise is a new race event that replaced the Walt Disney World Star Wars Half Marathon Weekend. So just on the back of yours, where we've been adding Star Wars, this was a nice reprieve from a Star Wars thing. So that's gone. Springtime Surprise is a race weekend where the theme will vary from year to year. So it's normally like princesses in February and wine and dine is in November. This is one that they're leaving open. They can do what they want.
Nice. That's cool.
Yeah. And this year, for the first one, they decided to play on the nostalgic heartstrings of Run Disney runners and bring back races that have long since been retired. It's been a number of years since the Tower of Terror 10-miler or Everest 5K have been run. The Everest Challenge was originally run from 2008 until 2015, but will come back this Thursday night. The Tower of Terror 10-miler was a race that lasted only 3 years from 2012 to 2014 before being discontinued due to construction at Hollywood Studios for Star Wars Galaxy's Edge, a new adventure hotel. Who cares? So the
they should have the race run through the lobby of that stupid hotel. Just like, just totally break the, you know, I don't know what you would call it, the fourth wall or the bubble. I don't know.
You guys are taking me out of it. Come on, you're taking me out of it.
I really thought this Trendosian was going to give me 10 Blark Lorks.
Oh, God. Is that a real thing or did you just make that up?
I made that up. Oh, I mean, Trendosian is a thing, but like Blop Glorks, no.
No.
It sounds like something from Futurama or Rick and Morty or something like that.
You could be a Star Wars writer, as it turns out.
I should be.
We are going, this race will take runners from Epcot to Hollywood Studios through Galaxy's Edge and then back to the finish at Epcot. Runners participating in all three races, the true jocks, such as myself, will receive an additional medal. Though not this weekend, it seems, for completing the Springtime Surprise Challenge of all three races.
Wow.
So Run Disney runners, a fickle group, potentially not getting their medals this weekend, but they won't be clanking around, that's for sure.
But
it'll
they
be
seem
much
okay.
Quieter in the parks in the afternoon without all that clinging and clanging.
That is good. I'm shocked that they're okay with it. Good for them. Maybe we're growing as a species.
We may be evolving a bit here.
I like that. I like that a lot.
Yeah.
Well, Jeremy, you know, as you may know, maybe you don't know, I've already learned, and I think you were on the air with me when I learned this, that it's already officially springtime. I learned this just the other day.
That's interesting because it snowed here yesterday. Didn't feel like spring.
Wow. Good Lord. I was certain that the springtime change happens in April, but apparently I was incorrect at that. But with spring comes flowers, pollen, and the Easter holiday, and no park does Easter celebration quite like Disneyland. This year, the park's Eggstravaganza will be returning to Anaheim starting March 31st and will last until April 17th. In case you have never been to one of these, it's essentially a massive Easter egg hunt all over Disneyland, DCA, and a little bit of downtown Disney. Eggs that are painted with various Disney characters on them have been placed around the resort, and guests try to see if they can find them all. It's a pretty fun way to pass the time between rides, actually, and it's a great way to see another layer of art and decoration that the cast members put on display. Have you ever been to Disneyland during the egg, what is it called, Eggcitement Celebration, Extravaganza?
Well, I was there for Easter 1 year. In fact, I called into the show
Oh,
you were recording.
Okay.
Around that, I was there that weekend for Easter, but I don't remember. I don't think I was there like Easter Sunday morning. So I don't remember seeing any Easter egg hunt.
Egg-arinos. All right. Yeah. Sometimes the eggs are in the grass around the trees, and sometimes they're on a window ledge. You got to look everywhere. And there are two ways to participate in the egg hunt. One, well, you just look around and find the little eggies on your own with only a sense of completion as your reward. But number two, you can buy a game board. Yes, not one to shy away from making a little coin off the back of its guests. Disney is selling game boards to track your egg finds. For just $9.95 plus tax, you can grab a game board and an accompanying sticker pack and seek out the eggs. When you're all done, you turn your game board in and pick up one of six collectible eggs to take home with you. Now, if it seems like you're just buying paper to then trade up for an egg, you are correct. You can just grab the game board and then go turn it in and still get your collectible egg. Hunting is not necessary. So you can literally just buy the thing, not even put a sticker on it, not even find the thing, and then go get your little collectible and sell it on eBay.
And then sell it on eBay, exactly.
Yeah.
And that, you know what that is? That's what Jesus would have wanted us to do on Easter.
Oh, I think so, too.
Pay for eggs and sell them, mark them up and sell them.
Mark them up, yeah. In case you're interested, you can buy your game boards at the following locations: in Disneyland Park, 20th Century Music Company, Adventureland Bazaar, Bonanza Outfitters, Disneyania, Le Petit Chalet, Pieces of Eight. There's actually like a bunch. I'm just sort of like reading off the ones that I think everybody would know. Pooh Corner, it's a Small World toy shop, and you redeem them at one location, which is Plaza Point. In DCA, you can buy them at Elias and Company, Oswald's, Ramon's House of Body Art, blah, blah, blah. And you redeem them only at Elias and Company store. And then downtown Disney, you can buy them at Disney Home, Disney Pin Traders, Mickey in Paradise at the Paradise Pier Hotel, which is interesting. They consider the Paradise Pier Hotel part of downtown Disney. Mm. And you could redeem in two places in downtown Disney, at Disney Pin Traders and World of Disney. And here's a little blurb at the end of this, this little write-up from the Disney Parks blog. It says, purchasing limiteds will... Wow. Limiteds. Burp, burp, burp. Purchasing limits will apply, and game boards are available while supplies last. Limit of 6 game boards per person. 1 surprise per game board. So you can just go and buy 6 game boards and then go to the redemption place at Elias and Company or wherever, and you can get 6 eggs.
I don't understand. Leave it to Disney to confuse the Easter egg hunt, a time-honored tradition. Everybody knows. Everybody gets how it works. You look for the eggs, then. How is it that Disney has managed to make this more confusing? You could do it for free. It's like Genie or Genie Plus. You can do it for free, but you could also pay... And it's better.
Well, you can do it for free, but you don't get anything.
Right. I just don't understand this. It's an Easter egg hunt. Just let people find eggs. We don't need a game board and then have to take it to Elias and Company and be like, here's the board. Give me the egg. I thought I was looking for eggs. What is happening?
Now you get a collectible egg. You get the thing that you've been seeking.
It's too annoying. This is so annoying.
Game board redemption is valid through April 30th. So the whole thing ends the 17th, but I guess if you still have a game board and you didn't make it, you can come back before the 30th and, you know, whatever. Now, Jeremy, you might be asking, what do eggs have to do with Easter?
Yeah, I don't really know what that's about.
Well, I'm about to tell you. Eggs have been used as a fertility symbol since antiquity. Eggs became a symbol in Christianity associated with rebirth as early as the 1st century AD via the iconography of the phoenix egg. And they became associated with Easter specifically in medieval Europe when eating them was prohibited during the fast of Lent. A common practice in England at the time was for children to go door to door begging for eggs on the Saturday before Lent began. So any eggs laid that week were saved and decorated to make them Holy Week eggs that were then given to children as gifts. Now, I know Disney isn't specifically saying Easter Bunny in their little game, but I've always wondered why there's a rabbit involved with the celebration of Easter, and this is what the internet told me. The Easter Bunny, also called the Easter Rabbit or the Easter Hare, is a folkloric figure and symbol of Easter, depicted as a rabbit, sometimes dressed with clothes, bringing Easter eggs. Originating among German Lutherans, the Easter Hare originally played the role of a judge evaluating whether children were good or disobedient in behavior at the start of the season of Eastertide, similar to the naughty or nice list made by Santa. As part of the legend, the creature, like, just call it a rabbit. It's a rabbit. The creature carries colored eggs in its basket as well as candy and sometimes toys to the homes of children. As such, the Easter Bunny again shows similarities to Santa and Christmas by bringing gifts to the children on the night before a holiday. The custom was first mentioned in George Frank von Frankenau's work. It's in German. I don't know. It's called, the translation is About Easter Eggs, in 1682, referring to a German tradition of an Easter hare bringing eggs for the children. But it goes back farther than that to like pagan rituals and stuff like that. So there you go. That's a little bit of the history of the Easter hare, Easter eggs, and the egg extravaganza at the Disneyland Resort.
Well, is there a rabbit character that should sort of take center stage during Easter at Disneyland?
I mean, you would think, but I wonder if that gets into too, I don't know. I mean, I was going to say too religious, but the Easter holiday is religious. Well, I don't know. It's touchy. It's touchy.
I know.
I mean, it's a spring celebration that was a pagan ritual that was converted to Christian, whatever. Like, that's just all just known stuff. So, but I guess if you get too far into what we know as Easter iconography, then maybe people are going to be weirded out because there's like religion now coming into the parks. But Easter eggs are there.
Easter Bunny is about as religious as Santa Claus is to Christmas. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
And Santa's in the parade. I think we should get a rabbit, dress him up. Let's go. Bring him forward. Everybody gets their day.
I think you're right. You know, I forgot that Santa is represented in the parks. Easter Bunny should be there, too. Let's sign a petition.
As far as I understand, getchange.org. Let's go. From what I understand, Easter is a much bigger event at Tokyo Disneyland. I have Tokyo Disneyland Easter music CDs.
Really?
Yes.
What are they like?
Weird.
Okay.
Play them on Easter Sunday. I have them randomly. They're not anything wonderful to listen to, but they do. They have like an Easter parade and it's like hippity hoppity. So.
Yeah, like Orthodox Easter, which is what we celebrate, you know, is April 24th, which I know is not like Christian Easter this year. But we do eggs, too. We dye them red.
I was going to ask you if you do eggs.
Yeah, because we're very violent culture. And, you know, it needs to be bloody.
What does that mean?
I don't know. I'm just kidding. We dye them. We dye the eggs red to, like, symbolize the blood of Christ, I guess. And I'm saying
that's
this as, like,
what the Greeks do?
It's Orthodox. Yeah.
You're Orthodox?
Well, I was baptized Orthodox, but I wouldn't say I'm practicing.
Boy, I didn't realize you were so pious.
Yeah, it's like Greek Orthodox. I don't know. That's what we've always done in my family. And so it's more of like doing the tradition rather than celebrating the meaning behind the tradition kind of a thing.
Sure.
Like, oh, let's dye red eggs and, you know, smash them to see who wins luck for the year or something like that.
Okay. Yeah. Do you allow Taryn to do some pastel eggs as well, or is this a strict regime?
If she earns the right, yes. No. Yeah, we dye eggs. We do all sorts of stuff, man.
That sounds fun.
Yeah, I don't know. What are you going to do, man?
Yeah.
You know, it's all about just sort of like reclaiming the small little moments in your childhood. We're like, oh, yeah, my grandma used to give me a red egg every Easter, and I think that's cute and whatever.
Yeah, it's nice.
Yeah.
Traditions are nice to keep alive. It's something to do.
It's something to do. That's exactly what it is.
Sitting around staring.
Making dirty Martys. you got anything else?
Well, I didn't write anything up, but there was some talk on the internet about a refurb coming to Disney's Grand Floridian lobby. And
yes.
I'm a little...
You were heated about this.
I'm very heated because I feel like this is a steady drum, like it's a cadence with regularity of just news about something else they're going to change and ruin. And now it could be written in the headline that I read, nothing official has come out from Disney. So this is nothing like what we learned about Polynesian last week, where we saw concept art and they really teased it. This is people just kind of hearing stuff and predicting and seeing what's already changed at the resort and saying this is what they're doing.
Okay.
So until we have a bit more hard news or announcement or concept art, we should reserve some judgment. But it's all about a modernization of the Grand Floridian. And some of it has already come true. So there was this lounge there called Misner's Lounge, and it was just a little bar or whatever. And they changed it to the Enchanted Rose. But the Enchanted Rose is a really modern vibe. It's not Victorian. It doesn't, the rest of the lobby feels very traditional and Victorian. And of course, it has modern amenities, but it has a Victorian style.
It's like phones.
Yeah, sure.
Like push buttons.
Right. Yeah. But when you walk into Enchanted Rose, it definitely doesn't – Enchanted Rose would not have been in a Victorian hotel like that. And it does – it has a really modern glitzy – it's like you walked in to Lisa Vanderpump's living room, if you know who that is. So it's just a – just think of like invent, Beverly Hills.
Did she invent the gas pump?
No.
Oh, okay.
No. Yeah. She's a real housewife or former real housewife.
Oh, damn.
So it's just a bit – it's just – don't modernize that hotel. Give us, they just don't seem to be paying attention to what we want. And it's like the analogy I said last week. Like, I've never stayed at Grand Floridian. I've never been to Japan, but I was sad when an earthquake hit it. I don't want people ruining things that are, this is sacred ground. It's the Grand Floridian. Stop changing it.
Yes, I agree.
Update it.
Like, we stayed there when we went in 2015, I think it was.
That's right.
And it looks great. It's not my vibe, but I remember I would much rather stay at the Poly, and I think Taryn agrees with me too, but she had a great time, and we stayed there because of her and whatever. But I remember being sort of floored by the immenseness of that lobby. I mean, it is big. The space is open. There's a lot of off-white or ivory, color, maybe like a cream white or whatever. That's right. Everywhere. It sort of works really well. There's a lot of bright lights in there. The decor is awesome. That grand staircase with the elevator. It's just, the whole thing is amazing.
The birdcage.
And we spent a bunch of time just walking around there looking at that. And it does sort of like take you back in time to a place you've never been, place you've never known, which I think is what Disney does really well when they hit the nail on the head, is they take you to a place that you've never been to, but you feel like you've been there before. It's hard to do. And I think the Grand Floridian does that in some way. To change that, I mean, I don't know how you would modernize it, but and still have it the Grand Floridian. I don't know. I hope it's a rumor. But then again, I guess like, you do want to keep things moving to a certain extent, don't you? I don't know.
I don't think you modernize something that is meant to not be to not, not have be a modern aesthetic. There's a friend of mine said on Instagram, that's why we have Victorian style and we have modernist style. They're separate things.
Yeah.
And the problem is you're not going to feel transported if they all start becoming homogenous. Okay, the Grand Floridian's not everyone's vibe. I get that. Contemporary's also not everyone's vibe. Polynesian's not everyone's vibe. Craftsman architecture at the Wilderness Lodge, not everybody's vibe. But if you have all those different things, that's great, and you have options. But when you look at Riviera, feels the same as Coronado because they've just added these two towers. I forget which one I'm in when I'm in there.
So it's right. Like,
okay, are we at is that Coronado? You would never confuse Polynesian for Grand Floridian. They are so different.
Right.
But they're starting to make these hotels seem so homogenous, and I think it's really losing something, all in the idea of it's got to be modern.
Interesting.
Well, I agree. You have to keep things – you need upkeep. When the carpet gets frayed, you have to replace it. When the paint starts to chip, you have to repaint it. You have to make sure you have cable TV and high-speed internet. You have to have all that. But don't change the design aesthetic. That's my piece.
Yeah, I mean, the reason I like it for what it is because it seems sort of clean with all that bright white, not really bright, but sort of like dull white. It's a different feeling when you go in there. Yeah, I mean, look, you're right. What are you gonna do, modernize everything? It's just gonna be the Hyatt refresh every 5 years.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Well, welcome to our Hyatt.
I got something else for you, Jeremy, before we close out the show. You ready?
Let's hear it.
Were you done? Did I step in you? All right, here we go.
The week that was in clickbait news.
All right, Jeremy. Well, it's been a while since we've heard the handsome, sultry tones of that intro segment or intro music or whatever. But, you know, and there's been a lot of clickbait news coming out, but this one was too good to pass up. It's, again, from our friends over at Inside the Magic, written by specifically someone called Rebecca Barton. And she writes the following headline. Disney Park's Aladdin actors are reportedly allowed to kill guests.
Reportedly? What report is that on?
Of all of the absolute monstrosities ever created and allowed to exist by this website, this is the most stupid, brain dead phrase anybody has ever put to digital paper. It's just dumb. It's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
Okay.
So here's
what's the story behind this?
Here's the story.
I know you bit the bait.
I didn't want to, but people in Discord are like, I can't wait to hear about that story. I'm like, God, now I have to thing.
You're doing the work so that these people don't have to. It's why they should be Patreons.
Well, and so this is what's going on. So, of course, it's, you know, whether you think working as a character performer at a Disney park would be a dream job or a nightmare role, there's no denying the fact that the position is unique. That's a sentence. If this article was a steak, that would be the gristle. It's this thing that, what is this? There's no flavor in it. It's annoying to read. It makes no sense. It doesn't even prime the pump to tell me what I'm going to even read about. I hate it.
That sentence makes me think of when I'm like, how do I cook shrimp scampi? And then I go to a website and it's like, shrimp scampi is a great meal for any time of the year. And I'm like, okay. And I scroll down, I see that. And then it's like, I like to make it with a little extra lemon and not as much garlic because my kids like this. And it's like, okay, all right, all right. If you want to do it, you should prepare it with a like extra salt. We're not going to tell you how much, so check the recipe. And then you keep, and it's just like all this, like it's little bits of not, and you're just scrolling, scrolling, scrolling. And then finally all the way at the bottom, there's the recipe.
There's the recipe. Yeah. Exactly right. The next sentence is after a photo and then a hyperlink for related, like a related another story. And then the next sentence, after all, not everyone gets to wake up every day. And first of all, you have everyone and every in the same sentence. So that's bad writing. But and play a Disney princess, Mickey Mouse, Minnie Mouse, Winnie the Pooh, or other iconic Disney character. And all the characters' names are hyperlinked back to other articles. So it's just a click farm. And that's what you do, I guess.
Click farm. I never heard that. I like that.
Yeah. You're welcome. Anyway, it goes on and on. There's another photo. There's another blah, blah, blah. Recently, the Proud Disnerds Instagram account shared what is perhaps one of the most unique paragraphs in the Disney Parks cast member handbook. Okay. That's the sentence. This reporter, quote unquote, this writer, quote unquote, is already confirming, based on what we assume would be her research, Rebecca, that this is in the Disney Parks cast member handbook.
Right.
The next sentence. The stipulation reportedly applies only to actors who portray Aladdin at Disney properties.
Okay.
Then it's another picture. Then it's another link. Per the post, the handbook's park safety section purportedly reads. Now, is it purportedly reads if the person posted a picture of it? Then it's if whatever. Like, are you using that word as a way to say, like, well, maybe that's what it is, but I don't know because I didn't check. Because if I'm wrong, if this is fake, then it's purportedly, I don't know.
Right. And if you're a reporter, why aren't you checking that? Why aren't you saying it supposedly reads? Like, no, does it read, does it say that or not?
Exactly. Here's what it says. Although we want every Disney guest to have fun, our number one priority is safety. Because of this, Aladdin will never, under any circumstances, kill a park guest unless it is absolutely necessary to save the lives of a greater number of park guests. This is referred to as Aladdin's exemption. Now, if you read that, Jeremy, as a human being with a brain, a functioning brain, I don't know how much, maybe 50%, maybe 70, who knows, it depends. Would you believe that? Would you think that that's an actual thing in the Disney Parks cast member handbook, as Rebecca has stated it is? Would you believe that?
No, I don't believe that. Does it make any sense?
Of course. No, because it's the dumbest thing. Like a 10-year-old would write this about a story that, you know what I mean? The 10-year-old would make this up.
Right.
But a grown adult would not believe this, to even not even entertain the fact that this is true. It goes on. Commenters on the post also chimed in with Hell's Bell 13 asking a valid question. Now, this question is going to be valid, as Rebecca states, based on the thing where someone's allowed to kill people. Here it is. Here's the valid question. I'm confused. Does this mean that Aladdin is the only one allowed to kill guests as long as it's for the safety of other guests? Or does it mean that everyone other than Aladdin is allowed to kill any guest without reason? That's the valid question that Rebecca thinks.
That's not a valid question.
This is the validity benchmark for Rebecca as far as her reporting goes. Anyway, blah, blah, blah. Fun and games aside, Disney has not confirmed at any point that this is actually in the cast member character actor handbook. But it does seem like Aladdin's exemption would be difficult to make up.
No, it's folklore.
So she's saying that she thinks it's real because who could make this up? This is the level of brain activity that we're getting out of bloggers like Rebecca from Inside the Magic. I don't understand it. It's just the dumbest way to approach anything. Clearly it's made up. Even if it's really in the handbook, someone had to make up that to put it in the handbook, you dunce. So yes.
Right, and it's a joke. It probably has something to do with like a script that he might say, or, you know, it's something. But she does use a lot of "it seems," purportedly. There's a lot of qualifying words that she uses to before she starts anything.
Right. Yes, definitely. So I jumped in the comments. There's only 13 comments.
Oh, you did?
Sure, why not? What are you going to do? I'm already here. You know, they've already got my money, whatever. And people, like, the first one is something about a Chapek slander. I'm like, okay, for sure. Great, the easy one. Then it starts getting worse. James says, geez, do at least 20 seconds of research. This was a satirical handbook released by Clickhole way back in 2015. We just trawling old Reddit threads for anything with the word Disney in it now? Trish says, why did this article start out like this? I only read it because I wasn't sure what it meant. This is a silly article. I wish that it did not waste my time by reading it. Fiona says, you know, you should have done your research. This was a Clickhole satire book from about 5 years ago. So no one's allowed to kill at Disney parks. And Kathy goes, hard to believe anyone took this article seriously. And people are just going on and on. Thissa says, a proper journalist would do in-depth research before posting to a popular, quote, news blog attempting to be legitimate.
But,
yeah.
So they're not a popular news. I mean, they're popular. I suppose they get a lot of clicks, but they're not a news site. Surely they've gone so far beyond.
Oh, it's disgusting. So I looked it up. So here's the thing from Clickhole, which is obviously very satirist. I mean, it's obviously not real. It's on Clickhole. It's not real. Walt Disney World, how to play Aladdin, do's and don'ts. Who is Aladdin? The first sentence tells you automatically. Aladdin is the street urchin who owns a blue slave. I mean, come on. This is not a Disney thing. Jesus. He wears a tiny red hat and is extremely poor. When interacting with the public, Aladdin should always keep in character and try to steal money or food by any means possible, short of physical violence. And actually, the word violence is misspelled. Aladdin uses trickery and charisma to steal, not brute strength. Aladdin is Muslim, but not especially religious. And it's just like, I don't know, dude. All of the clothes you were issued are very filthy because Aladdin is homeless. Disney costumers have worked hard to cover the clothing with foul-smelling street grime, and you will be held responsible should you clean your outfit in any way. So this is what it's from. Aladdin thinks slavery is sometimes okay. Anyway, this is where we're at with Inside the Magic and Rebecca and all of these people. It's just, I can't tell if they're actually not trying or if they're very clever.
Well, in a vacuum, because as you were reading the story earlier, I was like, you know what? Maybe they're just having a good time and it's just this is all just fun. It's just like something to do in your free time. Like, oh, let's just check out and see what this is, you know? Unfortunately, they didn't even get back to the click hole argument. Like, if that was what it was,
right,
she would have finished the argument and said, haha, turns out this was a satire. Check this out. It's from click. It's a click hole thing. You know, like, go back to it. But she kind of left it hanging in a weird way.
What?
So it's, I do think if it was just playful and fun and it's like, oh, let's just go read bull crap on their website, that would be fine. But the problem is, in the whole context of their website, it's a constant, it's constantly trying to fool us. There's a lot of stuff that's not so, seems so far-fetched that they're using to try to click, get us to click. And that's the problem, is like, this isn't one isolated incident. This is one of a whole constellation of problems coming from inside the magic.
Correct. I agree. And she was using very validative language as well. Like, right, in that first sentence, this is from the Disneyland character, your cast member's handbook, period. End of sentence, end of thought. And it's like, it's not. So I agree. If you wanted to report on the satire, because it's, you know, funny, I don't know, whatever, it's something to read. You're right about it. Right about that. And how this was a funny satire piece. And, you know, this is funny.
Well, exactly. That's right. Hey, I dug this up from a few years ago. It made me laugh. Thought I would share it. Yep. That's a better way to do this.
Right. And it's sort of
an honest way.
Well, yeah, for sure. Yes. Definitely more honest, because now you're getting people literally going, I had to find out what this meant. And that's all they're trying to do. And this is what bugs me about it, is because it's fooling Disney fans, like that one lady who just wanted to read something cool. Mm-hmm. And she goes, I don't know what this meant. So I clicked on it. Now I'm really disappointed.
Right.
How do you feel good about yourself by taking money from, not taking money, because it's ad money, so who cares, right? But like, you're fooling people to trigger a payout for you, and I just think that's sleazy. I don't like it. Bogs me.
But isn't there, I mean, no one falls for this and then continues to click on Inside the Magic. I mean, eventually you learn your lesson. I'd probably fallen for it 5 to 10 times, and then I was like, that's it. They're muted in my feed, because I just know that this is going to be ridiculous. There's never anything good.
The only reason I haven't muted them is so I can report them in my feed for misleading or sensational journalism.
Right.
That's it. But yeah, sometimes I got to do it. I got to do it for the culture. So I did it here. If you have any Inside the Magic, that's what I want to do. I want to set up a service so I will be the only one to click on these. And then if you send me an article, and then I will send you back, I'll just copy and paste the relevant like thing. Like, here you go. Save you a click.
Well, there were a lot of people sort of retweeting them or responding in the comments, because I did see this. Mm-hmm. Someone wrote, stop clicking on Inside the Magic. That was all they put. That was their tweet. Yeah. So I was like, oh, what are they up to? And then I somehow saw it, and people were, quote, like taking screenshots of it and saying, this is what they're posting. I just saved you the click.
Yes.
And that's got to hurt them. Probably not enough, but
yeah, I mean, I think
they can't like that.
Yeah, they can't. I mean, I wonder, Mr. P was like, I wonder what they're going to post on April Fool's Day. And I was wondering that too. I wonder if they're actually going to post like legitimate news that is actually well-defined and well-represented, accurate, not sensationalist, whatever.
Well, I guess we won't have to wait too long. It's coming up in a couple days.
Yeah.
Let's keep our eyes out on that. Or you, at least. I'm not going to.
Yeah, unfortunately, I will.
Well, you know what? We need you to.
That's true. All right, Jer. Well, hey, another great show down the tubes.
This was our 60th.
This is our 60th show. Just in time for the 60th anniversary of Disneyland? Did it already happen?
No.
That was a while ago.
Way back. That was in 2015.
Damn.
This is it's cool. Our diamond show.
I'm so cool, dude. I know everything.
Yeah, 60, that was so old.
Yeah, I know. All right, everybody, join us on, I believe it's the 7th of, so next week on Thursday, we're going to have Dan and Eric from the Supreme Resort, and we're going to be ranking every land in Disneyland. So Supreme ranking. Resort... ears up crossover show. Should be a good time.
Oh, my word.
And then, I believe on the 21st, we have the great Tom Amin back on the show. He has a new album coming out. So Jeremy, if you want to participate in that show, you're more than welcome. I know Tom, last time he was on, left us with a bunch of questions. So I think we have to ask him a bunch more questions. Really get a good show out of that guy.
I believe he has a new album coming out, so it would be interesting to hear about that.
Yeah, it would be fun. All right, everybody, thanks a lot for tuning in. And in the meantime, listen to SpectraRadio.us. We got our show over there, which is, what is it called? The Disneyland Ears Up Resort puts you to bed or something, whatever it's called. It's called Go to Bed with Ears Up.
Oh, boy. It's Ears Up's Disneyland Takeover.
There you go. Thursdays and Sundays at noon Eastern, 9 Pacific.
Perfect.
Noon Disney World, 9 Disneyland.
We should have just played the drop that's on the station.
Yeah, we should have, but whatever. Go to SpectraRadio.us and you'll hear it. All right, everybody. Thanks a lot. Until next time, we'll see you later.